Well, welcome, everybody. This is Senator Pat Roberts, and I'm very pleased to have you on the call. First, I'm going to make a short statement, then we can get to your questions. Today, I've introduced a bill I've been working on for some time that will make improvements to SNAP, or as most of you know, at the food stamp program. Now, there's been a lot of reporting about the explosion of growth in this program. At the same time, we're struggling with a government-wide spending problem. I think the latest reports, that was back in 2011, now today at probably about $80 billion bucks, sorry, and about 50 million people on food stamps. At any rate, as you know, the SNAP program or the food stamp program was exempt from the sequester along with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So we sat down and really analyzed the SNAP spending or the food stamp spending and found that there were literally billions of dollars in savings that we could find without ever touching the food on the table or in the kitchen cupboard for the millions of Americans who rely on this program to help feed their families. We want to have this program, this reform, basically to protect the taxpayer, but also to protect those who truly need the program. So in our bill, with the support of Senators Thune and Johanns, Thune, South Dakota, Johanns, Nebraska, we cut millions in cash bonuses that were awarded to states just for administering the program. We cut spending on employment and training. That sounds pretty good, but these funds were going to states and are being used for things like wardrobe expenses, moving expenses, union dues, tools, all sorts of things. So basically, these programs may be nice. I understand that. But our government just can't afford it, and the program really can't afford it. We cut spending on nutrition education. Some of these programs are simply redundant. We have many, many programs throughout the federal government on nutrition education. When you look outside of the Department of Agriculture, we also prohibit lottery winners from receiving food stamps. I think that's obviously self-explanatory. All of these efforts to slash administrative waste save the government more than $8 billion without even touching food benefits, and we're just getting started. We also took a look at the intent of the program, which was to help the neediest among us receive most needed nutrition assistance and to restore integrity to a program that some states have been gaming to their advantage. In that regard, we closed the low-income assistance program called LIHEAP and its loophole and tie automatically eligibility for SNAP to TANF. That's the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, a cash assistance to assure that those that need SNAP the most really get the food benefits. Now, some states are simply gaming the system on LIHEAP. Again, that's the low-income heating and energy assistance program by signing folks up for as little as $1 of LIHEAP assistance, and that automatically expands the food stamp benefits. And for the temporary assistance for needy families assistance, some states are simply offering brochures to recipients, and this automatically qualifies them for SNAP or food stamps. Many of these recipients would have never qualified for SNAP without these loopholes. So we need to close these loopholes to ensure the integrity, again, of the critical programs and end abuse. A lot of these provisions have been or have enjoyed bipartisan support. They've been proposed before. We had this as a bill in the previous farm bill. We were not able to address it at that particular time. I want to emphasize these are not drastic changes to a valuable safety net. When we debated and passed the Senate Farm Bill, I said there were more savings we could find in the nutrition title, and this bill certainly represents that unfinished business. Let's get on to your questions.
Senator Roberts, this is Larry Dreiling from High Plains Journal. How are you today?
Just fine, Larry.
Hey, what is the difference between this piece of legislation and what you and Senator Stabenow led through on the Farm Bill last summer? I can see that you already had the removal of the lotto winners, which I believe was similar. Are there other similarities?
There's about eight differences in regard to this. If you take the lottery thing, seven big ones. $4 billion were scored or was scored by the Congressional Budget Office in savings in the last year's farm bill. This bill pretty much reflects what we were trying to do in the farm bill on the Republican side. For more savings, it's $36 billion in savings. We just got the score back a couple of days ago. And, again, we have the support of Senator Thune and also Senator Johans. So, Larry, there's about eight different things. I could run down them for you if you want to. One of my favorites is to try to eliminate the duplicative employment and training programs. That's about $4.4 billion in savings. There are 47 federal employment and training programs at an annual cost of $18 billion. Now, here's the curveball. Only four states, receive about 80% of the total 50-50 match, including New York, about 37%, California, about 21%, Pennsylvania, 13%, and New Jersey, about 10%. Now, this 50-50 federal match is uncapped, and it can be used by states to provide reimbursement for expenses that are, quote, reasonable and necessary and directly related to participation in the employment and training program. But if you look at what is necessary or reasonable and necessary, it's union dues, test fees, clothing and tools required for the job, relocation expenses, licensing, bonding fees, transportation, child care, and the list goes on and on. So states can spend it on whatever they want to. And I just don't think that's right in the middle of the food stamp program. It ought to be going to people who certainly need that assistance.
Senator, this is Brian Thompson with Kansas Public Radio.
Hi, Brian.
I was just wondering if you would name names on which states are gaming the program and how and to what extent.
Well, that is with the low-income energy assistance program. That's about $12 billion in savings. There are 17 states that are exploiting what we call a LIHEAP loophole to circumvent the intention of the food stamp rules to increase the participants' food benefits. That benefit determination, it's a very complex formula of a person's income with deductions for dependent care, shelter cost, utility costs. So the higher the shelter costs up to a certain amount, the greater of the food benefits provided to a SNAP eligible household. Well, SNAP law says it does not recognize LIHEAP as income and creates a loophole by allowing households that receive LIHEAP but do not otherwise pay utilities the option of claiming the standard utility allowance, thus receiving a higher benefit. Well, the 17 states I'm talking about exploit this loophole by offering a nominal amount, $1, in LIHEAP benefits to boost their food stamp benefits. That was not the purpose of the LIHEAP program, certainly not the purpose with regards to the food stamp program either. We can send you a list of the 17, or if you want me to rip them off, why, I could do that, but it's largely in the Northeast. It's not Kansas, by the way.
I would like to have the list.
Yeah, we'd like the list.
All right, we'll give you the list. Here, let's look that up here, Wayne, if we can, and who's trying to look it up right now, and we'll go on to the next question, and maybe we can provide it. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, let's try California, Connecticut, Delaware. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay, California, Connecticut, Delaware. I sound like that country western song. District of Columbia, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, and Wisconsin. The Food and Research and Action Center, that's called FRAC, F-A-R-A-C, they publish an annual report on that, and they have something that's called Smart Choices in Hard Times to Teach States How to Game the System. That's ridiculous. And on page 17 of the 2010 FRAC report, states like Maine, Massachusetts, and Wisconsin have encouraged their state LIHEAP agencies to amend the state plans to arrange so they can get more benefits. That's just not right.
Brian, how are you?
Yes. Please proceed. Hello?
Is this better? Senator Roberts?
Yes.
Yeah, if you can hear me now, is that all right?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, could you just expand a little bit on your efforts to eliminate duplicative programs? When you're saying that you're going to, are you eliminating all of the 47 programs that are supporting training, or just a few? And also explain, when you're talking about these funds being used for union dues, clothing, are those just for employees that are delivering SNAP benefits, or are they going into general coffers for state government?
That's a good point. They're going into the general coffer or coffers. We are eliminating just one. It's on the SNAP program. My whole point was, according to the General Accounting Office, there are 47 federal employment and training programs at the annual cost of $18 billion. That should go with another committee that has the jurisdiction. We would certainly like to make some recommendations there, but we really concentrated on the SNAP program. But just to give you the universe out there, there are 47 employment and training programs. The SNAP participants should utilize, we think, the existing Department of Labor's Workforce Investment Act, those programs. Some states already contract with the WIA program to conduct the state's SNAP education and training program. That's the best one that we have found. In addition to the base program funding, here's what happens. The state has the option of providing their own funding to their state education and training program, which the Department of Agriculture is then required to match. Well, that's when I went into four states. Only four states receive about 80% of the total of the 50-50 match. New York, about 37%, California, 21%, Pennsylvania, about 13%, New Jersey, about 10%. Well, this is an optional 50-50 federal match. It's uncapped, and it can be used by states to provide reimbursement for any participants' expenses that are, quote, reasonable and necessary in regards to education and training. But it includes union dues, test fees, clothing, tools for the job, relocation expenses, licensing, bonding fees, transportation, and child care. And it just becomes sort of a, I don't want to call it a slush fund, but it certainly is an education and training fund up to the state. And it doesn't have that much to do with the food stamp program.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
It's Philip Brasher, let's be here. A couple of questions. Does your LIHEAP savings, that takes into account CBO decided about the LIHEAP provision that was in the farm bill that it wouldn't save any money? And two, what is going to be, aside from your bill, how much do you think the Senate's going to have to do in terms of what can it do in terms to deal with the much lower savings that resulted from this new score overall?
Well, the new score on the farm bill on CBO is $13 billion from the $23 billion. We're taking a hard look at that to see how the CBO came up with it. And the $4 billion savings that was originally in the farm bill that was passed in the last session have been reduced to zero. So, you know, you're going to have – these are tough times. This is a sequester that never should have happened. This is a sequester, obviously, that was recommended by Jack Lew, meeting with the president's folks, and it was originally designed to really exempt certain programs, all the entitlement programs and food stamps, and then it really hit on national security. The idea, of course, I think – and I don't mean to be partisan here, but there are people who would really be worried about national security and that it just wouldn't happen and that certainly an agreement would be reached. Well, now here we are with the sequester, and it's an across-the-board Lizzie Borden what exercise. We will have an opportunity within several weeks on the continuing resolution to give that authority back to the president, and then he could instruct the secretaries of various agencies that they would have the flexibility to make cuts in the areas that we all agree that should happen. And I'm talking about traveling, and I'm talking about conferences and, you know, things of this nature. Certainly not shutting down the meat inspectors all across the country. That's not going to happen, by the way. They're still studying our letter from Chuck Grassley and all of the Republican members of the Ag Committee as to whether that's even legal, and nothing could happen for several months, and I expect this to be fixed by that time, or at least I hope so. Now, I've wandered off your question. If you want to come back on the nutrition title, the nutrition programs would cost $4.4 billion more. This is the CBO score that we're talking about. CBO has obtained new information on state practices and the department's interpretation of current law with respect to how households qualify for utility allowances, read LIHEAP. And the CBO now believes that states would have more flexibility under the proposal than was assumed for the previous estimate. So now they expect that this provision as drafted would obviously result in little or no reduction in the cost of the nutrition programs. I'd like to emphasize that on the minority side, we had a bill very much like the one I'm describing, and on the majority side, that was the $4 billion. But in order to get a bill done, why, you know, that's what we did. CBO scores my bill as saving $12 billion through the closing of the LIHEAP loopholes, not just reducing what a hole there. Does that help you out?
Yeah, so yours ends that LIHEAP allowance completely, so there's no go-around that was possible with this Farm Bill provision. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right. It's a 17-state, you know, loophole. You can't, you know, you can't just offer $1 in regards to LIHEAP assistance and all of a sudden become eligible for the SNAP programs to the degree that they're there. And that's a $12 billion score by the CBO.
If I could ask you one more Farm Bill question about
yes, sir.
Because Soybean Association, you probably know, came out and said that now there may not be enough money to do shallow loss program, and they indicated they can support a target price program, which is something you were very concerned about. Is that going to happen in the Senate, or are you going to have to do a target price program?
I hope not. I want to emphasize again that when we're talking about this sequester, my goodness, I've had I don't know how many assistant secretaries from various agencies come in and warn me specifically on what programs would be cut, how many people would be furloughed, et cetera, et cetera. Some very drastic cuts that would be very painful for folks. And we haven't seen an estimate yet on a farm bill on what they would like to include and what they would include. Actually, Secretary Vilsack and the USDA folks pretty much let us write the farm bill, and that's what, you know, should happen. But we have another CBO score. We're going to have to work within that, and we have to make our priorities. My number one priority is crop insurance. And that shallow loss program, I don't know what a score is on that, but it's way premature to be predicting in regards to which program would be cut. Basically, the chairwoman wants to start marking up the farm bill very quickly. We obviously are working with her staff and Senator Thad Cochran, who's our new ranking member, and so we'll be able to answer that question as best we can, probably in the next month at least. Any more questions?
So this is Brian Thompson again.
Yeah, Brian.
I'm thinking about this employment and training thing. And, I mean, I can see the rationale for allowing participants to use some of the money for testing fees, clothing, tools for the job, things like that. I mean, if the idea is to get people employed, and these are conditions of their employment, you know, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Well, let's do that. Let's do that again. As I've indicated, they should utilize the existing Department of Labor's Workforce Investment Act. States already contract with that program, and that's the one we would recommend. Let's don't do it with regards to four states receiving 80% of the money, and people with a 50-50 federal match, it's uncapped, and they can use it for reasonable, necessary, and directly related participation to education and training. But then the definition in these states include all the things that I've mentioned here that I don't really think add up much in regards to a cost-effective way of addressing education and training. The House Farm Bill ended the match, too, and said it was a duplicative program. Of course, the House Farm Bill is in the House, and the Senate Farm Bill is in the Senate, and we weren't able to get to a conference like we wanted. Any other questions? Well, thank you all for participating, and we'll see what we can do with this bill. I appreciate it. Thank you.